The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Previously on the Simply Human podcast.
We had the first and the fourth. Yeah. And then moved back down to Chico, California, and opened up what was then CrossFit NorCal, eventually NorCal Strength and Conditioning. That was the fourth affiliate. And so if people like CrossFit, they oftentimes think that's cool. If they hate CrossFit, then it's kind of like the Antichrist for being involved in spreading, you know, what was essentially like a syphilitic canker across the face of fitness, as some people see it. So,
Very polarizing.
It's episode 155 of the Simple Human Podcast with your hosts, Mark and Rick, two human beings just doing the thing, man. On today's show, it is the great, famous, world-famous author and inspiration-a-tour. Is that a word?
Nope, it's not.
Okay. J.J. Virgin, so excited to have J.J. on the show. We have a great conversation. You were not able to be on the conversation because you were, like, on vacation or something.
I was at a conference, a work conference.
Yeah, sure. And then we do have Humans Being Human with Mark and the Ponchos story. Cannot believe I have not told this story.
You're one of a myriad of stories. Yeah. There's a lot of childhood and adolescence revolves around hanging out at Ponchos Mexican Buffet.
Oh, yuck.
And you don't know what those are. Maybe that's just a regional thing. We'll set that up for people. Not aware.
We'll get there. And we'll wrap up with, you know, I don't know, some stuff. How are you, Rick?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It is time for, wait, refrigerator? No, dishwasher talk.
It's a joke for just me.
We talked about that on the show.
I kept saying, yeah, let's do refrigerator talk. And you're like, yeah, dishwasher. I said, perfect.
No, use that dishwasher. Okay, so let me set the story up. In April of last year, the Whirlpool dishwasher, I'm going to use brand names in the story. The Whirlpool dishwasher that came with the house, brand new in 2011, was finally add that to the bragging montage. Very good friend of mine left us the house. He got sick and passed away. Thanks for bringing it up.
It's not true.
That is accurately not true. So this Whirlpool dishwasher finked out, and we were just like, you know what? We have three kids. We have a lot of dishes. It is worth the investment to upgrade and get like a good dishwasher. So
I feel like that's a very worthwhile upgrade because
yes.
You're right. We have the dishwasher that was original to our house when it was built. I'm not sure when that was because we're not the first owners. But it is a piece of garbage, and the dishes very well. So we're looking at doing that as well. So, yeah, that's a worthwhile upgrade.
Yeah, thank you. So I didn't get, like, the most expensive dishwasher at Lowe's, but I got kind of that, you know, not the average, above average, like kind of right underneath the most expensive dishwasher at Lowe's.
Yeah, I would the highest of middle tier.
Yeah. And it was a Bosch.
A tier two dishwasher.
Yeah. So it's a Bosch, very reputable brand, and they don't just do dishwashers. Bosch Global is like this huge company, right, based in like Denmark or something.
By Nazi, right? You know that, right?
They're what?
Nazi sympathizers, the people who own Bosch, you know.
No. Really?
Yeah.
How do you know?
God, you're the most gullible man ever.
Oh.
No, well, the company Bosch is not owned by Nazi sympathizers.
Well, he's German.
Well, all German people are Nazi sympathizers. Huh, Mark? I feel like you'd find some more anti-Nazi people in current Germany than you would. Oh, well, you probably would in America. That's
yeah,
America.
True.
A little political talk.
You and your Anyways. Nazi joke series. Okay, so here's what happened. After we got installed, everything was going great. It's this very nice-looking, streamlined, stainless steel, state-of-the-art, all this stuff. 1 year warranty on it. In November, it stopped working. It would just stop mid-cycle. And not sure what was going on, so we'd have to like unload the dishwasher and wash all the dishes by hand. So this is like beginning of November. I call the number on the Bosch dishwasher. Call
this
number.
Is one of those deals where that you buy from the store, but then it says on probably if you have problems with this, don't call the store.
Yes.
Call us.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. One of those deals. So I call that number. They say, okay, we're looking up the place in Abilene where we've contracted with. Oh, it's just one place. We have one place, a repair place. It's West Texas Appliance. Here's their number. Do what?
Because you live in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Okay. In Dallas, 500 different people work on it.
Correct. And that's why I was kind of kicking myself for getting a Bosch. You know, that's why, like in Abilene, you can't have like a Saab or an Audi or something.
You can't get it worked on anymore.
Right. Yeah. You need a Ford or a Chevy. It's pretty much all you have out here. So, I call the number, call West Texas Appliance. The guy's like, look, we're totally booked. It's about to be Thanksgiving. We're like 2.5 weeks out. Gets me on the schedule. He comes out after Thanksgiving, makes a repair. Doesn't work. Keep in mind, all this time, we're washing dishes by hand every night. Now, not...
Does it go from when he finishes his so-called repair that it stops working?
Yeah, he's like, oh, all should be good to go. And he leaves. We run our first cycle, and it stops midway through the cycle. Just
so
like
immediately.
Yeah,
like so
first
clearly.
Time.
Clearly.
Okay. Yeah. And this is like, you know, washing dishes by hand is not the most horrific thing ever. But when you buy...
Man, I'll tell you, you've got a bunch of kids. Like, I do bunch of hand... Like, I do all our pots and pans, stuff like that, hand washing. And I'm doing a ton of dishes every day after I... So I can only imagine doing all of your stuff that...
Yeah, and it was so... But when you buy a tier 2 dishwasher, you sort of you're buying that, you're making that investment so you do not have to. The expectation is you don't have to do this. So
you're buying a tier 3 or 4 dishwasher.
Yeah, exactly.
Still, it's the reason that you bought the thing.
Right, right. So he doesn't work. Next time he can get us scheduled is December. He comes in the beginning of December. Same thing happens. Doesn't work. He orders parts, which takes like 2 weeks. Took the parts to come in. It's another week and a half before he can get a schedule. He comes back in January. Doesn't work. Comes back in February 9th, and I have all this documented, and it's
the
still...
same guy every single
time. Yeah, and like such a good guy, such a nice guy, super patient.
Well, he might be nice.
Well,
it's not a guy who works on a dishwasher.
But here's the deal. He doesn't work on Bosches, right? Like, that's not... He's just as stumped. He's like, look, I don't work on these like foreign dishwashers. I don't know anything about this. Like, he's having like YouTube
dishwasher. That's a really great line, by the way.
Well,
just foreign dishwasher.
That's what it is. So hold on. Dang it. I'm trying to find something real quick. Okay, here we go. So on February 9th, he was like, look, if this doesn't work, he's like, I don't know what else to tell you. He's like, I'm going to close your account with us on this service call, and you're going to have to recall the number. Call the number again that you called initially, and you're going to have to tell them. Because at this point, like, Bosch is paying for all his time, and it's like, at this point, they might as well just get you a new dishwasher, right? So at this point, it's been 3 months. We've been washing dishes by hand. It's this... It's,
my God!
You're right.
So much more patient than I would have been.
Well, okay. Well, so... Now, I call Bosch, and they're like, well, we need the service history from, you know, West Texas Appliance to confirm that he has, in fact, come out 4 times, da-da-da-da. We'll contact West Texas Appliance. Well, then I call, you know, my friend at this point at West Texas Appliance. I call my buddy Steve. And
he's
like,
basically moved in. He's just like Cato Kalin living in part of the house.
Except he didn't murder us.
Oh, Cato didn't murder anybody either, pal.
I'm pretty sure he did. Who else would have done it?
Oh, well, you got me.
So, it wasn't OJ. So, I call him. Hey, has Bosch reached out to you? Nope, they hadn't called. So I'm like, you know what? I am not doing this. So this is when I come to the group thread for advice.
This is the off group text message that Mark and I and a couple of our friends growing up and our former youth minister, Steve, has been on the show. But
yes,
this is our a very lively group message we have between
the
five of us.
So I kind of explain what's going on. I was like, what in the world do I do about this? I'm like, this needs to stop. And our friend Jack, the man without a pancreas, wrote back, and I'll try to get. I need to kind of keep going on this. We're already at 10 minutes. So Jack says you need to email the CEOs of Bosch and Lowe's and explain very very respectfully and explain the process, and it'll be fixed. And I was like, and I say this in the thread. How am I supposed to get their email addresses? And B, like they're even going to read them. Within 30 seconds, you had screenshotted both of their email addresses.
Mark, I am a detective. I can find information. secretive computer program that we call Google.com.
Yeah, right. So you found the addresses of Bosch CEO Volkmar Dinner and Lowe's CEO Robert Niblock.
Also fake name.
Yeah. So I drafted the following. Should I read the email?
Oh, God. Longest.
It's not that long.
Okay, read the email.
Okay. Okay. Dear Mr. Niblock and Mr. Dinner. So it's the same email. They're both.
You should have called the guy from Bosch. You should have called him Harold, like H-E-R-R.
And Jack's suggestion was to not send separate emails, to send them both. And he wrote, like, public shame, you know, works. So I write, and I'll read this fast. I have an issue that has been going on for some time, and have finally decided to send you this email. I respect both of you very much, and know that you are both extremely busy and probably don't have time to deal with such small issues. But here it comes.
You respect them both. You don't even know either one of them. How do you respect them? Maybe it's just that you respect the author of the...
Yes.
You have a tremendous amount of inherent respect for just whoever holds that.
Right.
Okay.
I guess. So, I purchased a Bosch dishwasher from the Northside Lowe's in Abilene, Texas on April 28, 2016. In early November, our dishwasher started stopping mid-cycle. I called Bosch and was given the number for West Texas Appliance. I called them and the first day they could get to me was November 30th. Luckily, I had like kept copious notes on all this stuff.
That is a very important thing to do, by the way.
A tech came... parentheses, very nice guy, and made a repair. It did not work. He came back on December 4th.
Oh, he's such a guy. He's just, he's not a disaster.
He came back on December 14th and made another repair. It also did not work. He came back on January 3rd after waiting on parts to arrive and made a third adjustment. It also did not work. He came back for the last time on February 9th and tried one more thing, which did not work. He closed our gates and told me to reach back out to Bosch, which I did. I talked to a customer service rep who had me email a copy of my receipt to her, which I did on February 11th. My case is now in limbo between Bosch and West Texas Appliance. In the meantime, since early November, my wife and I have been doing dishes by hand every night. We have three children, so it has been hours and hours of work, which we paid good money not to have to do. We had a Whirlpool which broke in the spring of last year, and I spent extra money on a Bosch, so I wouldn't have to deal with this issue. And then Jack told me to underline and bold this part. At this point, I feel like it would resolve the issue if we were given our money back for the dishwasher and given money for another install. I also think it would be fair to be compensated for all the time we have spent washing dishes the last 3.5 months, time that we paid to not have to spend washing dishes by hand. And then back to normal text. My wife and I feel
By the way, I always feel awkward if I'm, like, angling to try to get something else. Like, I'm trying to get it replaced, that's one thing. But, like, hey, I need something for, you know, for the effort.
Yeah, well, this
like,
is...
How do you quantify that?
Yeah, and that was more of, like, a tongue-in-cheek, like, you know, obviously, like, don't really expect to get, a $200 check for my labor, you know.
Email.
Right.
Email.
Right. Oh, man.
I've got
another funny story on that later. So, wrapping up, my wife and I feel like we've been very patient and understanding and dealing with this issue, and that we were asking for is very reasonable. My file number with Bosch is da-da-da-da-da. My transaction number at Lowe's is da-da-da-da-da at store, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for your time and understanding. With great respect, Mark Rogers, my cell phone number, Abilene, Texas. So, within 3 hours, I received a call from the Lowe's executive suite in North Carolina and the Bosch executive suite in wherever they're located. I don't know. That was on a Monday. I sent this email Monday at, why isn't the timestamp on here? It was like 1:30 in the afternoon. Before 4 o'clock,
I had to be respectful and wait for Herr Volkmer to
wake up. Yeah, it's probably the middle of the night. Volkmer is like, "Who what is this email I'm getting? God,
oh, my phone always chimes when I'm trying to sleep."
It didn't sound like. Who does that sound like? What character that was that based off of?
Sounds like Hitler from
The Simpsons, or the guy from The Simpsons, the Arnold Schwarzenegger character, when he's like, "Ah, the goggles do nothing, my eyes." Okay, so this was on a Monday. On Wednesday, I went in and picked out my new dishwasher, which was like a couple $100s. It was like the most expensive Bosch at Lowe's. And on Friday, it was installed. I paid $0 for any of it.
I would like to pause very, very briefly. When you initially bought the Bosch that doesn't work, you paid money to have someone install it for you. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. What's that all about?
I don't want to install a dishwasher.
It has instructions in there.
I know. I want someone to bring it into my house and just plug it up and walk away.
Wow, that very clearly worked the first time.
Well, it wasn't the install that was the problem. It was the dishwasher.
You could have done a better job.
So the only problem, this guy came over four times, the only problem was like the screw wasn't tightened or something on the back of the wall.
Inline specs on the girder.
Yeah.
Backwards.
Yeah.
You got to flip around backwards.
Yeah. So all that to say, and then like they followed up with me. I had like a direct contact. They were like following up with me afterwards, making sure it was fixed. So when I said, A, how am I supposed to find their email addresses? That was very quick. And then B, like they're even going to read this. Not only did they read it, but I had the problem resolved in 4 days after 3.5 months.
Okay. Here's a question for you.
Okay.
Ready? You are the CEO of Bosch or Lowe's. Pick whichever one you'd rather be CEO of. How many emails do you think that guy gets a day that like he, like personally, therefore, like the actual, like it's corporate business.
Yeah.
Like, some titan of industry is emailing, the CEO of Lowe's to say something and he needs to read those. How many of those do you think he gets a day? Not even the ones like you sent. I mean, like official communication.
I don't know. Dozens?
A day, you think?
Maybe more. Maybe not.
I would go like 100 at least. The CEO of a major American corporation.
Well, I think he also has people under him that those types of people know.
That's what I'm getting at here.
Okay.
So is it some? And so combine that with the amount of emails you get from people like you, demeaning you. You'd be something smart, but I mean like disgruntled customers.
Right. Right.
Is that a job at Lowe's to be like the official
email reader
of the CEO?
Yeah.
And be like, hey, just you take these ones that are customer service related and just give them to the guy. Ones that are like, stock prices and buy and sell and make sure I get those.
Yeah.
Does he have someone that delivers his email?
Surely. Well,
because that's incredible.
Yeah, and so what the voicemail said whenever I got the call, and it was from North Carolina, and I was thinking, hey, I was like, Lowe's, I think, is based in North Carolina.
Hey,
I was like, surely not.
Volkmer.
Yeah, surely not. Like,
oh, this is Herr Volkmer from Bosch. I'd like to see how a dishwasher is running.
I'm so sorry.
I like a re-joke there. It's the, you pick up the phone, it's, yes, this is Mark. This is Herr Volkmer from Bosch. I was calling to see if your dishwasher is running. Checking up. Oh, well, you better go catch it then.
Well, I also just realized what the accent is. It's Hans and Franz is what we're doing.
I am actually doing my own accent.
Oh.
No, I don't.
Well, yeah. Well, so anyway, the other thing is what you know. Oh, the girl that called, she's like, "Hi, this is Ashley with the executive office in Lowe's, Mr. Dulcan Hockenbachen, whatever. Who's the Niblock? Mr. Niblock was in receipt of your email and wanted me to follow up." So she made it sound like he had gotten it, but I'm thinking read the email.
He walks into his office, and he's walking through the corridors, and he has an assistant just reading off. It's like, here's what you have to say.
Yeah. Mark and Aveline's dishwasher is broken.
He just turns to the person reading the briefings. They're, like, exiting the elevator. It's like, you tell that Mark Rogers that I will do whatever I can to satisfy him with
loads. I will make this right. Such an important person.
Drop everything! Yeah. Drop everything!
Well, I thought it was pretty impressive customer service. So kudos to Lowe's and Bosch. Very, very well done.
And I'm first making fun of your accent.
Volkmer dinner. Okay, let's get to the interview.
Let's get him on the show.
Volkmer, please come to the show.
Oh, you've got a direct line to him. Why don't you email him back?
Dear Volkmer, I have a podcast.
Yeah. Podcast. 8 people listen to it every week, and we'd like to have you on and talk about, I don't know, stuff.
Being a CEO of a dishwashing company. Well, okay, let's get to the interview. SimplyHumanLifestyle.com. Check us out there. At SimplyHuman52 is all the social media stuff. Email the show, SimplyHuman.
Don't email me at SimplyHumanRick@gmail.com.
He will not get it.
I don't use those anymore because I forgot the password. And I can't figure it out. And I said it, so I'll have to set up a. So
in like 30 years when we're old men and we're like sitting around like, man, whatever happened to that Simplium podcast? Well, the turning point was when Rick forgot his password to his email.
By the way, that's such a hilarious bit that like I forgot my password and but it's like, hey, give us a secondary email address or your phone number in case you lose your phone. I'm like, haha, yeah, right. Gmail.
Yeah.
You just want access to everything personalized.
Yeah.
No, I will not.
And now
I learned a lesson.
And now this.
Don't email.
Email me. SimplyHumanLifestyle@gmail.com. Or connect with us on Facebook. We love all of our very loyal listeners. Okay, to JJ, I talked to her about her background, a crazy accident, anti-aging, miracle mindset, her new book, Gratitude Journal, celebrating small wins. Success leaves clues, mindset CPR, and waking up in gratitude. Here is JJ. Super excited to have on the show today. Rick is at some weird conference, so Rick cannot be on the call, but we have JJ Virgin, who's a celebrity nutrition and fitness expert. She teaches clients how to lose weight and master their mindset so they can lead bigger, better lives. I mean, the list here, it's crazy. 4 New York Times bestsellers, The Virgin Diet, which I have a copy of, The Virgin Diet Cookbook, JJ Virgin Sugar Impact Diet, JJ Virgin Sugar Impact Diet Cookbook. There's all her memoir, Miracle Mindset, which we're going to talk about today. Is it out?
It's out.
It's out. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, this is awesome. And you have graciously squeezed us in between other things. And so we want to respect your time. And so we're just going to get right to it. So Google her, you know, if you're interested in all the things. There's just a crazy amount of information out there on the content, things that, you know, blogs that you've written and you know, you want to know what JJ thinks about X, it's out there. So let's do this. Why don't you give us kind of the Cliff's Notes background story, your origin story? How did you get to where you are today?
Oh, my goodness. So I actually grew up in Berkeley, California. So all of this stuff that now is so cool, like farm to table and all that, like that's just how I grew up, except my mother was from the Midwest and raised me on Pop-Tarts.
Right.
So I was like nicknamed Poppy, but I became a massive athlete and I dumped all of that and became very focused on the local health food store and actually started teaching calisthenics in high school.
Huh.
Like that's how dating myself. And I went off to college. I started personal training. It was me and Body by Jake, the two first personal trainers that I know of. And then I went into grad school and doctoral school and discovered that if you are exercising, you cannot compensate with, over-exercising to compensate for eating crap, that they all you have to do both. And so I started studying nutrition and a lot of marketing and functional medicine. So that was kind of like the whole business side of I got very into everything that could help you lose weight or get in the way of you being able to lose weight. And along the way, I started doing TV. Like, I got on Dr. Phil when he was doing all his weight loss challenges.
Oh, wait, are you the Cash Me Outside girl? Is that
the what?
Do you not know what that is? Okay,
no.
Dr. Phil made this teenager famous. You need to Google the cash, like money, cash uh-huh. me outside, like with no that, T. Google that.
I don't
that.
Know what the heck that is, but yeah, this was God. I don't know how many years ago this was. 2 years of doing his weight loss challenges and trying to explain that no, he wasn't on my program.
Yeah.
No. You know, he'd go to places before the us and have like chicken fried steak. I'm like, just stop it, dude. But and then I did this crazy show called Freaky Eaters, which is kind of like Hoarders and meets My Strange Addiction.
Yeah.
One of those ones where you kind of cross your fingers and hoped that it would not continue to get picked up, because I was like, oh my God, what did I sign up for here? So that's been fun. A lot of TV. But just as I was getting ready to publish The Virgin Diet, and I've always been obsessed with like what messes up our metabolism. And along the way, I kept seeing, I was doing a lot of food sensitivity testing, and I found that people kept, you know, showing up with the same food sensitivities, gluten, dairy, soy, corn, eggs, peanuts. You pull these things out and like, it was crazy what would change. And it didn't mean that they could, like, I happen to think eggs are one of the most amazing foods on the planet, but you know, they were eating factory eggs,
right,
which are a whole different food.
Correct.
But just as I was getting ready to launch that book, literally like weeks out, I had everything invested in it. I had done a public television show. I mean, like all systems go, and I'd invested every dime I had and borrowed money. So I was totally had burned the boats. I was taking the island. And I'm the primary financial support for my kids, who are 15 and 16. And my 16-year-old boy is crossing the street and gets run down by a car. I mean, literally run down 40 miles an hour, left for dead.
Oh my God.
Woman gets out of the car, looks back at him, gets back in the car, drives off.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. And a neighbor sees this woman get out of her car, pulls up, calls 911, gets him, he's airlifted to the local hospital. My ex-husband and other 15-year-old son are driving past this accident scene. They don't know what it is. They get out of the car to find out what's going on. The policeman looks at my other son and goes, a kid got hit. He looks like him.
Gosh.
So this is how we find this out. We race to this hospital. The doctor there says, you know, he's got a torn aorta. It's going to rupture at any point. If you don't fix it, he dies. But he's got multiple brain bleeds. We can't fix it here. He'd never survive an airlift to another hospital. Even if he did, he wouldn't survive the surgery. And even if he did, he'd be so brain damaged, it wouldn't be worth it. You got to let him go. And my 15-year-old son looks at that doctor. He says, so like maybe a 0.25% chance he'd make it. And that doctor says, that sounds about right, son. He goes, well, we'll take those odds.
Oh my gosh.
I know. This is such fun. This kid, he's 19 now. He's just a bad. He walks up to my 16-year-old. Here's his brother who's lying on a gurney, right? He's got half his body covered in road rash. He's glass and gravel literally sticking out, bones sticking through his skin.
Ugh.
A tube coming out of his brain. He's in a deep coma. He looks like the Incredible Hulk. He's so swollen. He goes, dude, you look really ugly right now.
But like, yeah, great. Great thing. Yeah. Thanks.
Now me and, you know, I'm over here in a heap on one side, my ex-husband's a heap on the other side, and he's just like, dude, you look really ugly right now, but if anyone can make it, you can. You're so stubborn. You can do this. And sure enough, like, we airlift him to the next hospital. He makes it through that surgery, but then the neurosurgeons come up and they go, listen, we don't think he'll ever wake up. And the orthopedic surgeons are, and even if he does, he's not going to walk. And we're hearing all this, and I'm like, oh, no. He's going to be 110%. Like this, we are going to pull him through it. I was telling Grant while he was in a coma, I'm like, we've got this. Don't worry. You don't need to worry. You just fight. We'll handle this. You're going to be better than before. And so that has been like the journey of the last 4.5 years, is heaving every nutrition protocol, all the fitness stuff, all the things from my functional medicine doctors, everything at him. And creating the beyond the $6 million man at this point. And happy to say he's better than before the accident.
Oh my gosh.
He's 110%. And I told him, because he's like, I don't know why I'm even here. What's my purpose? I go, honey, your purpose is to show people that these things that people tell you are not possible are beyond possible. And, you know, but you have to start with asking the right questions.
Right.
It's interesting. So much of being resilient is asking the right question. Like, think of my question had been, how can I get them to survive an airlift? Like, this would be a very different outcome than how do I get them to 110%, yeah, right?
Right.
So that's the short answer of what I've been up to the last.
I'm looking, you know, you're looking at your background and I'm kind of doing the math here. Like, okay, your career is like spans this long and you know, your kids are this age.
You don't know how old I am.
It doesn't make sense. Your career is longer than how old you are. How does that happen?
Not really, huh? No, not really. Although I did start my first, like, I was the kid walking around the neighborhood trying to sell stuff to the neighbors when I was like 10.
Lemonade stand and all that. Yeah.
The entrepreneurs just are entrepreneurs. Right. Like, they're not made, they're born. You can't help it. Yeah. And we all have to stick together because we're weird. So, not normal.
Right.
But I'm 53, obsessed with everything that helps reverse aging because it's amazing what you can do. About the age of 30, 35, you kind of wake up one morning and go, oh, all those things I could get away with in my 20s. Nope.
Yeah.
That game's over.
Yeah.
So
I'm starting to get gray in my beard. I'm 35 and I'm like, what is this? I'm not supposed to be green gray hair.
Yeah, I just as my son gets hit, it's the time like when everything happens, like all the menopause stuff, everything. It's the exact same time. I'm like, oh boy. But you know what? It's amazing what you can do with good nutrition, with good fitness, with great supplements, with great, like all the mindset resilience hacks that I was doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I literally launched a New York Times bestseller bedside with my son in a coma talking to him because I knew that he could hear me and I wasn't leaving and, you know, made it through all that stuff better than ever. So it's all possible. And that's the extreme situation.
Right.
But, you know, I'm always interested because if you can do that in extreme situations, think what it can do to people in everyday life, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of that same thing. I think like if it's good for like a baby or like a pregnant woman, then like it's probably, you know, like that's the extreme, you know, it's probably good for just like the regular guy. Speaking of just real quick, I mean, like for all those people out there that aren't parents, when you become a parent, it's like this joyous thing. But coming along with that joy is like this never, ever going away fear that something is like they're going to get hit by a car.
Yeah, exactly.
And so like my son is 3 and I have 2 older daughters and he has like this, he had a virus or something like a few months ago and like he has a swollen lymph node in his neck. Well, of course, like you feel this little thing and you're thinking the worst. And so like my wife, like took him to the doctor this morning. He's got this lymph node and we're all, you know, like I'm like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be nothing. But then in the back of your mind, you're like having nightmares about it.
Yeah.
And so I texted her like, because everything's fine. He's totally normal. Everything's great. And so I texted my wife this morning, being a parent sucks. And she wrote, because you can't imagine life without them, but have the reality of possibly living without them. Cue insanity. So pretty buddy.
So true. That's what I always said. I said, you know what? I can handle anything going on, these crazy business blow-ups, you know, anything like that, just as long as my kids are okay.
Yeah, because you stare just at that right in the face.
Yeah. You know, I looked at my son lying on that gurney, and I went, man, I will trade places with you 100 times. I will go through a fire. I'll go through any pain.
Yeah.
Just let my kid be okay. And what's been the biggest challenge is bringing him out of this. You can't do it for them. So like things were really hard and he'd be frustrated. He'd want me to do it for him. Mom, can't you just text me when I have all my appointments so I don't have to, because you know, memory sucks after brain injury.
Right.
I go, honey, I can't, you got to know how to do this.
Yeah.
I go, this is not going to be easy.
Yeah. And I try to live life like I'm from an alternate reality. Like I'm from a reality where like one of my kids is something really bad has happened. And then like, I got to come back where nothing bad has happened. And I'm, you know, trying to think, like, have the perspective of, like, you know, cherish every single moment, you know? Like, because I know if something happened, you think, like, man, I would give anything to just to lay with my daughter when she says, hey, will you lay with me tonight? And my first reaction is to go, no, I got a lot of stuff to do. You just go to bed, go to sleep, be quiet. You know, it's like, and just like lay with them for if they want you to snuggle them or something, you know, even if it's like not, if you have like your show you want to go watch or something. Anyway, okay, we could talk about
reading that damn book again.
Right.
You know, here's the cool part about that. I was sitting with my kids the other day and they're 19 and 20 now. And they were talking about like how much better they are because of what we went through.
Right.
So that the other side of that coin in life is you don't grow when life is easy. I can't think of any time, Mark, where things were going my way totally, and I'm like, gosh, I'm becoming such a better person.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it's like Malcolm Gladwell fans out there, the David and Goliath book that he wrote, I guess that was his most recent one. You know, I think he mentions in that book that like something like 30% of all U.S. presidents like lost a parent in childhood, you know, like it, like, so, like there's some, like all these like great leaders, like something really bad happened to them when the, in, you know, that helped form who they were later, you know? And so, yeah, you're exactly right. Like it's not whenever it's a beautiful day that,
exactly.
You know,
well, it is what I found. When people kept saying, how did you do that? How did you do that? Like anything, I'm super left brain. So I'm like, well, how did I, you know, the Spock side went, well, how did I do it?
Yeah.
And first thing I did was go and start interviewing people who I thought were amazing, inspirational leaders. Yeah. Every single one of them has gone through just ridiculous challenges.
Craziness.
Every one of them. Like my buddy Dean Graziosi lived in a bathroom with his dad.
Oh my gosh.
Not a house. The bathroom.
Right, right. Like when you think your house sucks, like, oh, the dishwasher broke again. Like, well, at least you're not living in a bathroom. Like,
right? I mean, like every time I ever think about something, I go, well, I'm not living in a bathroom, am I?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we have the four pillars of the Simply Human lifestyle that we talk about are eat, sleep, move, and then manage stress, or another way we say that is enjoy life. And we have people on that are kind of, you know, I guess experts in perspective and gratitude and things like that. And we talk a lot about that. Like, you know, when the scan and go, Sam's app won't work. Like, really, is that something that you're going to really like throw a fit about and like be rude to another human for? Really? I mean, come on, you know? And so we talk a lot about that, but, okay, real quick, we were talking about aging just a second ago. One of the things that I tell people is like everything that aging does to you when you're looking at your bones get weaker and atrophy and all these things, it seems that like strength training or resistance training kind of like is the opposite of everything that aging does to you. So talk a little bit about, you know, the anti-aging process.
Yeah. You know, I was 25 years ago in graduate school studying biomechanics and I was going to do, my research project, and everyone at the time, all the literature at the time, everything was about eat low fat, eat vegetarian, and do a lot of endurance training.
Ugh.
And I was trying. Okay. So yes. All right. So I'm like, huh. And I've always been like, well, show me the research. And I was digging back in the stacks back decades earlier, because I'm going, I'm trying this on my clients who are 45 plus men and women, and they're getting worse.
Yeah. Well, like, show me someone that has done that for the last 20 years. What do they look like?
They look like crap. Yeah. The men look like they're emaciated and 100 years old, and the women are fat.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the bottom line. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here, you know, so all these professors are teaching this, but they're not out actually applying it. And I'm going, this is nice, but people are not going to pay me to make them worse.
Right.
I'm pretty darn sure. So this is not working. Is anyone paying attention here? And I'm looking in the research and I go, like, I started talking about burst training 25 years ago. I was doing plyometric training, and the problem was we were teaching at gyms, and everything had to be an hour. And I was like, but this only takes 10 minutes.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, this is going to be really, really cheap for them if we're billing them by the hour. Yeah.
Everything was training was by the hour. The classes were by the hour. And I'm like, going, but really, we only need 10 minutes. We were trying to put this together and people wouldn't accept it. I'm like, this is so stupid. And so I literally switched everything over to high intensity interval training and resistance training. Because what do you want to do, man? When you age, you lose muscle and bone. And they kept talking about, well, if you want to improve your bone density, walk. I go, that ain't going to cut it.
Yeah.
Well, how's walking going to strengthen your bones? Push some weights over your head and do a squat.
Yeah.
And then, you know, look at high intensity interval training. You want to raise growth hormone? Sleep well, do burst training.
Yeah.
You know, everyone at the time, I had all these Beverly Hills clients, they were all starting to do growth hormone. I'm like, guys, just sleep well, do burst training. Like, that's what's going to raise your growth hormone. You guys are all getting insulin resistant, injecting growth hormone. It's not going to work here.
Right.
So, yeah, it's crazy how the information is still out there with people doing loads of endurance. I don't do any endurance training. Like, why do I want to do something that's going to burn up my muscle, age me, and raise stress hormones and make my system depleted.
Well, and you know, like the correlations that they, you know, obviously correlation is not cause, is not causation or whatever. But like the people that live to 100, a lot of them, you know, there's a bunch of them that smoked. There's a bunch of them that did all these other things. The one thing that's like kind of, you know, the same universal in everybody is like muscle mass in their youth. They were all like, they all had like lots of muscle, you know? And so, and I did endurance training, you know, I was a football player in my youth. And so I had that kind of background and that kind of weight training. But then for like 7 years, I did endurance training where I was doing marathons and Ironman and stuff like that. Well, at the end of 7 years and doing 33 races and not sleeping great because I was working out all the time and waking up early in the morning, I had a really bad like physical reaction. Like I couldn't even like take a walk without like collapsing in exhaustion, you know? And so if it's not, you know, that's not a sustainable human movement pattern. That's what I tell people now. Yeah. Like find a sustainable human movement pattern. If you want to do CrossFit as your job and compete in the games, then do CrossFit. If you want to like play with your grandkids, we might need to look at a different mode of movement. And so that, yeah, I think that's one thing that people, you know, tend to, you know, they'll substitute their something else in place of health. Like what is like true health, you know? And so, but before we're out of time, and we just have a couple minutes left, let's talk about miracle mindset. I think you talked about, is the accident what inspired miracle mindset, or was there another inspiration for you writing that book?
You know what I love is that, yeah, the accident, what inspired me was so many people ask me, how did you get through it? How'd you get through it? How'd you get through it? And I was like, how'd I get through it? And I realized like every morning, and I've done this for decades, every morning I get up, I pull out a journal, I write down three things I'm grateful for. I wake up in the morning at a hospital knowing my son's close by. I'm getting up at 5:30 and heading over to see him. You wake up paralyzed with fear. I wrote down my gratitude, shoved the fear out of the way and got going. And it saved me. Every night at the end of the day at that hospital, I'd be there 12 hours. It was dismal. Like I'm looking for, did he flutter his eyelids today? Did he, you know, anything to say he's going to make it through this. And I would find any small win and I'd celebrate it. And the big thing I saw with all this is, you know, success leaves clues. There are things that all of us can use here that can get us through the tough. If this could get me through this, like, every day we face crap, let's face it, you know, every day, you know, and if this could work for me, then think of what it can work for with, you know, for the average person just going through their normal day where stuff blows up and they're pissed at someone and all the stuff that normally happens that's going to happen.
So it's on, I mean, to sort of promote the book, where is it? Where can people find it? I'm sure it's on Amazon and everywhere else.
It's on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble. It's all over the place.
And
just literally launched. But it really is the science of resilience, courage. What I looked at is I created mindset CPR, how to use courage. You take courage and you take a big purpose. It will let you have the courage you need to step up bigger in your life. And then you put that together and you get resilience. And it really is. The people who are successful in life in whatever they do are the people who are the most resilient. And you can build it. And the takeaway here is, your mindset is truly a muscle. If you are not growing it, guess what?
It's atrophying.
It is atrophying. And if your mindset's atrophied, nothing else in your life is going to go well because it's on top of everything.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're sleeping great, if your movement is great, you're eating great. If you don't believe in yourself and you don't like think that you can affect any change around you, like you won't. Like it's all starts with the psychology of it. So I'm glad you wrote the book. And as we wind down, I'm going to ask you the question that I ask every guest who's been on the show for the first time, and it is this. What is one thing you enjoy about life or something you do to make life more enjoyable?
Well, it is that thing I started with. It literally is waking up in gratitude every day. It is the biggest thing that has changed everything for me and that I've been consistent with now for 25 plus years.
Wow. Awesome. That is a good answer. Hey, we talk about the five things or three things you're doing, a gratitude journal. And is that's one of the things that I tell, especially college students when I'm, you know, people that are just sort of inherently in a stressful situation when you're in college, like you're just in stress, there's no way around it. So, you know, what are the things that you can do to help manage stress? That's one of the things we always say. And that's like, sounds like you've been doing it for before it was like a cool buzzword, you know? Yeah, but it works. It's around and it's like, it's that those kinds of things like meditation and all these things that have been around for forever.
There's a reason they're around because they work and they're free and they take minutes. Like gratitude in the morning, minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Changes your entire day.
Yeah,
little wins at night, minutes.
Three, five,
changes
four.
Your entire day.
Yeah, 5 minutes of mindfulness, 2-3 times throughout the day will change your whole day.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay, it is exactly the time that we said. So I really appreciate you being on this. I'll email you and Leah whenever we launch the show. Really appreciate your time. This has been great.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
You're listening to the Simply Human podcast.
Okay, very short. Ponchos, humans being human, the poncho story. This is something that my dad reminded me of over the weekend, and I thought, I cannot believe I haven't told this story, and pretty sure I haven't. So, Rick, we
set the stage for what ponchos is, by the way, because I've been thinking a lot about this. Ponchos is a Mexican buffet in the Fort Worth area, and it specializes in cheap, low quality, awful for you, delicious Mexican food. The kind of like, and it was so good that you were gonna diarrhea the next day for sure. But it was always worth it. You're like, man, it feels so good going down.
Yeah.
And we used to go all the time.
Oh, my gosh. I'd say at least once a week, if not more. Because there was one right by, like, you're kind of by our houses. Me and you sort of lived close together, and there was a Poncho's just up north of us. And then there was, we went there, like, after church. We'd go there, like, just, like, during the week, like, especially in the summer. And it was, like, they had
rice.
We would
go and air that place a new one.
Man, like, and how it worked was you would go through the line and get as much as you wanted and go sit down. And there was little flags on the table. And then you raise the flag. That meant the little waitress or waiter would come over and, like, ask, and you'd say, 7 more flautas, please. And they would, like, go get you your flautas.
Yes, and they also had like every table got dessert, like these basket sopapillas dessert, and we would how sick I would be right now if I ate any.
Oh gosh! Okay,
maybe next time you come in town, we need to
find a Poncho's. Oh
my god!
And just know that it's going to be the worst thing ever the next day, but it will be so good. Okay, so the buffet line, as in most buffet lines, when you go through like the Jason Zelli salad bar, there's like a glass. Like barrier, right, where you can see through, but it's health code or whatever. There's a glass barrier, right?
Well, thanks for treading on me, health code.
Yeah. So this happened.
Get government out of my buffet business.
This is when we were at Waterview. We were up there. It was a Sunday afternoon, so it was packed. There's a line like out the door. There's people everywhere. The line would kind of wrap around on itself. So when you're going through the line, there's the food servers on the other side of the line, and like basically right behind you is this other line of people. Like there's people all around you, shoulder to shoulder.
Snakes around. The line snakes around. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going through the line, and what reminded me of this is I had a respiratory infection over spring break, and so I'm like, I'm over it, but I'm coughing up all this gunk, And so yesterday, I'm like, doing one of those deals, like with this mucus thing in my nose, and my dad was like, man, remember that's like the time at Poncho's and I was like, oh. So I had just gotten over like an infection or something, and I had all this gunk that I was like spitting up. So I either cough something up in this line, right? So there's nowhere I can't just like go excuse myself to the restroom or something. I guess I could have, but so I'm standing in this line.
Yeah.
I can't just like.
Hey, let's out.
It's like saying like I had to take a poop. Well, I couldn't just go to the bathroom. Like I just had to go in my pants. Like there's no other option. So I'm standing in the line and I cough something up and I kind of go like. And it shot out of the back of my throat, and I barely like caught it in my lips, like this loogie, this humongous loogie. And I look over at my dad, and I was like, "Oh my god!" I was like, "Are you?" Oh, and I was like, "What if?" And I say this to my dad. I was like, "What if I had gone?" Whew, and I reenacted the cough, and when I reenacted the cough, that green monstrosity flew out of my mouth and splattered onto the glass thing, like on the top of the glass thing.
Oh, God! Oh, what's the matter with you?
And it started like oozing down the thing, and like my dad and I were just like like staring at it, like, and there's people all around.
Do you have a rag or?
And I think at that time, I think you got your like silverware down at the end of the line, so I didn't have anything to like wipe it off with. So we just like kind of scooted our trays and kind of kept that down with the line and just left
you
it
idiot!
On there.
Your shirt tail or something. Like, you're
going to
have to.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that was the worst.
I am ashamed to have any association with
the worst. And the worst part about it is that I had caught it, and then I was, like, reenacting it.
Yeah.
That's like, you remember our friend Shane in church? You remember Shane?
Last name T?
Yeah. Me and Jackson were riding with him once, and he, speaking of, like, reenacting, do what?
Little brother we named Fartmaster.
Who was the Rangers closer for a while. And so we're in his truck. Remember he had that huge, like, black truck that had, like, the lift and these huge tires on it, remember? So Jackson and I are riding with him, and like he did something where like something ran out in front of us and like he didn't swerve, and he was like, man, what if I, when we were going like 60 miles an hour down the road, and he's like, man, what if I had swerved? And he reenacted the swerve and actually turned the steering wheel, and we went like spinning out of control like crazy, screaming. And it was like one of those, like, he was like telling a story, like reenacting the story, like, you don't, it's like you were safe, like, why put yourself in harm's way when you're reenacting something? But anyway,
you could have just said what was,
right? Yeah, you could. You could have just explained with your words. So okay? There's another really quick funny story about a loogie spinning like that. That I was I was like walking out to my car, and there was like a bunch of college students behind me. This was a few years ago, and I caught something like that up, and I didn't want to spit it right in front of them. So I waited till I got to my car, and I was going to try to like spit it like down on the ground, and it landed on my door handle, and it covered up like my keyhole on my door when I had that Honda Fit. And I was like walking past it to go to some other meeting or something. And I forgot about it. When I came back, I didn't just see like where it had landed. When I came back to like put my key in the door to open it, there was like this crusted, like hardened, like mucus thing over the keyhole. I had to like chip away with my key. Ugh.
That is disgusting.
I have told the story about when my grandpa was trying to be real cool and spit out the window when he was like in high school, and he thought his window was down. And it was rolled up, and he was like on this first date, you know, and he was gonna like like spit out the window, you know, and he spit, and it like his window was up, and he just like spit on the inside of his window. Oh, so you never done that, huh?
I'm sorry. Is the question, have I ever been at a buffet and like popped a giant loogie on the sneak guard? That's your question.
Yes.
No. I've never done that, George Costanza. Yeah. I have never.
Oh my gosh, that was the worst. So, but you don't have any loogie stories?
Even off the top of my head, you have to like give me some time.
Yeah.
I do have a slightly funny story.
Okay.
So my very very first night ever as a police officer, I'm ready to go, and I'm a little bit nervous and scared, but I'm ready to go. Get out. Not a cars. So one of the sergeants says, well, the other one's not going to be here tonight. You can just take his car. It's a sergeant's car, so don't clean up after yourself. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yes, sir. Well, this is the days when I still used smokeless tobacco, and I was working the overnight shift, and so I was probably doing way too much because I was trying to stay awake. And I had like a 32-ounce, like a big gulp cup, that I was spitting in, and I ended up basically filling this entire cup all the way up, for the most part, over the course of my shift. Well, I'm going to go fill up the gas and, clean out any, trash or anything like that at the gas station right before my shift is over. Pull into the gas station, I got the gas pump going, I go inside, I get the cup, and I don't know what happened, but I just, if it's stand or if I bumped it against the steering wheel, but I'm not, a quart of hot tobacco spit went everywhere. everywhere. And so I've got all those like crappy paper towels, the blue ones that they have like at the window squeak station, trying to scoop it all out. And I'm going inside getting water 20 times over. And the shift ends. And we're supposed to be in at, I think it was like 6:45, I think. Well, I end up getting done, and I'm at the station at like exactly at 7. And the sergeant's waiting there. He's like, hey, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm coming in, so I just want to make sure I clean out the other sergeant's car. He's like, yeah, you need to be here at 6:45, and you need to have a pretty good explanation for why you're making me late. And I'm like, well, no, I don't have a good explanation.
You thought about it.
Yeah. So that's my only good spit story.
That's funny. Well, we're out of time, Rick.
So
we're out of time. Let's go ahead and wrap the show up. Thanks for listening. We're going to have Jason Seib on to talk about his new book. We're going to have Michelle Lane on to talk about her book. We're going to just maybe, you know, this is the second show in March, so we might not have another show until April. And if, you know, we might just do it.
Do what we want.
Yeah, we can do whatever we want. We can do a short show if something funny comes up. You know, the Dishwasher Talk could have just been its own show if we wanted to. We can do whatever we want. So anyway, thank you everyone for listening. Like us on Facebook, go to the website, all that fun stuff. Let us know if you have any guest ideas or topics you want us to cover, bits you want us to do, and we will do them.
Yes, and if anyone knows Per Volkmer from the Bosch Corporation, kind of
tell him thanks for us. Yeah. All right, well, that is going to do it for this edition of the Simply Human Podcast.
And remember,
kind of scooted our trays, kind of kept that down with the line, and just left it on
there. Your shirt tail or something.
So until next time, enjoy yourself.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.